nostrils is oddly reminiscent of that noisome place.
London in Victorian times, Doc? We've been most places and seen most things with the jumps, but we've never traveled through time.
Not yet.
You said all the experiments failed in trolling people through time, except for you.
Yes. There were stories, my dear old friend. Stories I could tell that would make a bold heart weep with... But what was I saying?
Time travel, Doc.
You don't mean freezies like me, do you? More cryo centers?
I fear that I don't know. Can't recall what I was saying. Apologies to all of this company.
Well, now then, best go take a look outside and see where we are.
In his heart, Ryan thrilled to the idea that they might one day stumble upon a viable way of temporal travel. Like many people in Deathlands, he was often occupied with the idea of getting back to the golden days, before the long winters and Skydark. To see the world of myth and legend, when cities towered 1,000 feet high, before man's madness turned inward, and he rent his universe apart. But Ryan knew this would never happen. The Mattrans units had been a closely guarded secret, with their ability to transport anything over thousands of miles in the blinking of an eye. But if only they could have conquered time travel. Mildred brushed dirt off her clothes.
Well, I guess Kirk was wrong. It's time that's the final frontier, isn't it? Space was easy.
The five companions picked their way slowly up the ruined stairs toward the ghostly light.
How come nobody got into these gateways?
The U.S. government camouflaged the entrances so nobody'd find them. And even if they did, they probably wouldn't have the firepower to blow sectors like those on the elevator.
What if someone comes down there now with the doors open?
They'd need a lot of preparation and 300 feet of rope.
We'll need the same. Something to bear in mind when we come to try and get back again to the gateway chamber.
Christy had taken the lead.
I smell rain.
Best keep quiet. Could be anyone or anything waiting for us out there.
They were clearly now in the basement of a devastated house. It had been totally pillaged, probably shortly after nuke death sprayed from the skies, and now was no more than a hollow shell. But there was evidence of a long-gone grandeur. Doc paused at a turn of the stair and ignored Ryan's warning to keep quiet.
If I didn't know better, my dear Ryan, I would have said that we were in San Francisco or Chicago or Boston or New York or Philadelphia, a northern metropolis of some sort.
Why?
The feel of the building. Angles between walls and ceilings. Look at the shattered remnants of the cornices and the broken plasterwork around where the light fittings once hung.
Shut up, Doc.
What was that, Ryan?
Just lip zip, will you?
Roger and out.
Ryan wondered what that meant. The main thing was the old man finally kept quiet. Christy had paused, holding up her hand and beckoning for Ryan to join her. His own blaster ready, he climbed carefully up the stairs. Now, he could feel and taste rain on his face, drifting through from the open air, close above them. It had a slightly acidic flavor to it.
What time of day is it, lover?
Last place we went, it'd be around 6 in the evening. Can never be sure after a jump, but it must be sometime around late afternoon or near tonight.
Assuming we're still in Deathlands.
Ryan glanced behind him, making sure the others were ready, knowing they would be. Nobody ever got chilled by checking twice, was what the trader used to say, and he'd lived long and lived hard. The stairs ended in open air, surrounded by piles of rubble. Chunks of brick and concrete, knitted together in a mad freeze with coils of steel, were decorated with thousands of splinters of ash-smeared glass, shutting out any view of the immediate surroundings of the building. The sky was the color of molten lead, laced through with streaks of pinkish gold. A small rain was blowing in from Ryan's right, sending trickles of water over the top few steps. Surprisingly, there were flowers growing from the fragmented stone, tiny yellow and white daisies that he'd seen in many other blasted places throughout Deathlands, and crimson-purple fireweed, waving in a light breeze. Ryan stood still, head just below the level of the fallen ramparts, taking several slow, deep breaths, checking and analyzing what he could smell. Behind him, Christy was doing the same thing.
I smell smoke. Cooking fires.
A lot of them around, but nothing very close.
Very cautiously, Ryan pushed his head above the scattered rubble, squinting around.
Fire blast.
What do you see?
There's a real big ville. Could be New York.
Anyone moving?
Just ruined buildings, far as I can see.
Christie moved carefully to join him.
Gaia.
I don't think I've ever seen. It goes for miles and miles. Look at it.
Can we come up? The suspense is killing us.
Sure, Mildred. But don't stick your head out too far.
All five of them leaned on the bricks and concrete, marveling at the city of desolation before them. Over to their left, Ryan noticed the distant glint of water.
River there, or the sea.
I don't smell enough salt for it to be the sea. But there is the sea somewhere, not too many miles away. I think it's New York for sure.
Well, the sun's setting, so that river over there could be the Hudson, couldn't it?
It's to the west of us, true enough. But it's possible that this might be the district called Queens.
Then the river to the west of us would be the East River.
There weren't any signs of hostile life, apart from the rat. Ryan led them out into the open. All of them stared toward the thin ribbon of water, tinted blood red by the sun setting over some higher ground beyond it.
Hey, where are you outlanders coming from?
At a range of 20 yards, there was a fair chance the person behind the blaster could cut all five of them into bloody tatters. If he was any good with the weapon.
Hey, I asked you fuckers a question.
Just passing through the ville, son.
Don't call me son, you one-eyed son of a bitch. I got a name.
What's that?
What's what?
What's what? What's your name?
Who's on first?
What?
No, who?
Shut the fuck up, Doc.
Name's Dredd.
Dredd, huh? How do you spell that?
The young man stepped out from cover, the AK-47 still threatening the companions. There was a piece of broken wood near him, and he reached out with his left hand, scrawling painstakingly in the mud by his feet. D-R-E-D.
Right there. That's my tag. Dredd.
Sure. Dredd.
The lad looked to be around 18, and he was short, barely 5'6". His clothes were a ragged assortment of old and patched and makeshift. His feet were hidden inside ill-matching shoes. The left was like an ancient basketball sneaker, wound around with thin red wire. The right was a once elegant brogue with black and white uppers. Dredd's hair was extremely long, twined into narrow plaits that appeared to have been coated in dark clay. He had pale skin and light blue eyes. The way he handled the heavy weapon convinced Ryan that this was a young man who'd already learned the difficult craft of chilling.
What are your names, and why don't you have colors shown?
He remind you of anyone, lover?
Ryan nodded, knowing she was thinking of Jack Lauren.
Names. Now.
I'm Ryan. This is Doc, JB, Christie, and Mildred. We're passing through. Been looking for shelter for the night.
Fucking oldies. Wrinklies. No gang would take you.
Pardon me, my young fellow. Could you possibly enlighten me as to the nomenclature of this fair metropolis?
You want your balls shot off?
Why, certainly not.
He asked, what's the name of this ville?
Oh, the ville. Hey, you mean it's turf?
Turf?
I know the word, Christie. It means the territory of a street gang.
Sure thing, lady. This is the Hawks' turf. Me, Dredd. I'm the president of Hawks. We run this section of the South Bronx.
So it is New York. Upon my soul, I thought it was.
You gonna chill us all, son?
You call me son again, and maybe I will.
Hey, Ryan. Does he remind you of an old friend?
Hey, how come none of you is shooting bricks at this blaster?
We've been all over Deathlands, Dredd, and seen plenty of killing. You've got the ace in the line here, but you can't take out more than one, maybe two of us. Then you're face up with rain falling into open eyes.
You figure?
I do.
Is that a threat?
No, it's a promise.
Ryan could almost hear tiny cogs grinding in the boy's head. There was a difference from Jack. Jack had been quicker, like spilled mercury.
What do you want, then?
The blaster down. Then tell us where we can find a place for the night and some place to get eats.
You might be with the Peaks, or the Shivs. Or a gang of scalies downriver.
Getting tired, Dredd. Put that blaster down or pull the trigger.
Dredd grinned for the first time, revealing his truly hideous teeth. There was a variety of jagged, blackened stumps leaning into the dark gaps.
Sure.
The boy showed them one of what he claimed were several gang hideouts all across that part of the ville. Mildred managed to talk quietly to Ryan as they all moved across the landscape of lunar rubble, explaining to him what and where the South Bronx had been.
Lots of decent folk, but a lot of bandits. If that's the Hudson, then somewhere behind us,